Good to be with you this morning. So good to be back. But man, did Danny do a good job last week. Listen, if you guys are ever asked to preach here in this pulpit, if you want a good model of how to do it, just do what Danny did. Just get up here and point towards eternity and then preach the gospel. That's all you have to do. Thank you so much for doing exactly that. The hardest thing about doing this is getting out of the way and letting God's message come through. And so in my absence last week, you did that, and what an example to all of us here. So thank you. Man, so many of you have been helping out and serving and being involved, and it's been awesome to be a part of. A few things this morning. As you guys know, by the first of the year, we will be in transition to another location. And so we're going to spend the next few weeks as we continue to finish up the book of Numbers. Remember, if you've been following in our sermon series in the book of Numbers, the Israelites are on their way to the promised land, and they're in that last stretch, and there's a lot for us to learn about how we get there and how we transition well in this season. So we're going to continue to talk about that over the next few weeks, but we'll give a little bit, just to kind of put your fears at ease a little bit. Doors are opening. There's a lot to be excited about. And so at the end of service, one of our elders is going to speak briefly on a little bit of that. But first, if you guys don't know, we do have Johan Adendorf. If you guys don't know Johan, both of his kids were up here singing on praise team this morning. But Johan is currently overseas in South Africa and Zimbabwe, getting back onto the mission field. If you guys don't know this, maybe if you're new here, first of all, if you're visiting with us, thank you for being here. I'm about to say a bunch of stuff that maybe you're unfamiliar with, and just roll with us, because there is some really good things to see in the Bible this morning that we're going to talk about. But first, Johan, a couple of years ago, stepped down from serving as an elder here so that he could spend more time on the mission field, and then COVID happened, and he's been stuck here. But while he's been here, we still have missionaries on the ground in Zimbabwe that are there full-time, native there, working there, planting and building up the churches there. Many of you have partnered with us in that effort. Some of you have been senders. Some of you have been goers. And so I see Dwayne back there. I know Richard is here. If you guys have questions about what we're talking about this morning when we start talking about global missions, those are the guys that have the most up-to-date information on what's going on with Johan. Except maybe his wife. I bet you guys are probably up to speed as well. So reach out to them if you have any questions about what we're talking about. But first, let me kick us off. I just want to spend about 2.5 minutes letting you hear from one of the missionaries on the ground. I don't want to get his name wrong. This is Brother Isaiah Machigura. I tried, y'all. Brother Isaiah, who's a missionary there in Zimbabwe, who works with the local churches there, and just a quick couple of minutes video from him. And I believe this is shot a few days ago, right? Like sometime earlier this week, Johan just shot this on his iPhone, sent it over to us. Let's check in with him. I'm going to hit these lights. Let's hit play on this.
Thank you very much, Brother Johan. Hard enough. We really appreciate, first and foremost, your visit that we meet here in South Africa. My name is Isaiah Machigura. I'm married to Spiwe and with 5 children. And in Zimbabwe, yes, COVID really affected us, because I am working on the mission work with the Brother Farai, Brother Lucky, and Brother Moses. And we find that a good job is being done in Matingwana, in Church of Christ, in Osaven Church of Christ, and Sinots Church of Christ, and Nyamanjovu Church of Christ, and also other various churches in Lupani. And we find that a good job is being done on those. And unfortunately, COVID affected the members, because that was a national problem which also affected the whole world. But here in Zimbabwe, definitely there was an effect of COVID, because people were not coming to meet together at the various churches, especially in the communities. You find that it was just an abandoned meeting place. Up until now, when there is now an opening, whereby we are reviving back, and we are focusing mainly also on the new converts who are also responding to the teachings, and the progress is coming up well. There is a decline which almost exists, 70%, but we are building up. Quite a number of people are being baptized, and it's really a great thankful to Riverside for your help and your assistance, on especially on the transport and medical and also on food. And also you find that it really gives a motivation in all the work which we are doing here in Zimbabwe. And we really appreciate a lot. Without your help, we'll not be talking of all these areas. We'll not be talking of Lupani, any existence of all those 10 churches which are there. We'll not be talking about that. Even in Yamajov, we'll not be talking about that. Even in Sinotsi, we'll not be talking about that. Matingwana will not be talking about that. Osaveni will not be talking about that. But because of your hand, which you are extending in making sure that the mission work is being financed and is being spiritually supported and financially supported. So your hand of support.
That may be what we have for right now. That's about an 8-minute video. What I wanted you to see is how appreciative the missionaries there are for our help. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And so our sermon this morning, we're going to talk about asking and you shall receive. And if you can't tell already, anytime you start showing pictures of missionaries overseas, this sermon does end with me asking something of you guys. So I do want to give you guys the opportunity to partner with us in that Zimbabwe mission. And so we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. But I do want to spend a little bit of time preaching the word. This is the season of generosity and giving and thanksgiving. We're going to talk about all of that this morning. But if you guys are like most family traditions, you probably spent some time over Thanksgiving just reflecting and going, you know what? What am I thankful for this year? What do I have to be appreciative of? And at this time of year, there's always this kind of push for this kind of consumer mentality. There's all the things that are on sale and all the things that you might want and all the gifts you have to buy. And it's so easy to consume and consume and consume. And so because of that, we tend to focus on generosity rather than blessings, rather than looking at what we are asking for. So just in case nobody's asking you this question right now, let me just start with this. What are you guys asking for? One of the simplest principles in the Bible. It's one of those, it's so simple, we usually don't do it. You know what I'm talking about? Like, we all understand it logically, but it's so simple that we just don't believe it, is Jesus's words in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. You guys probably already know it already. Ask, and it will be given to you. We can, let's just hold that for a second. Just ask, and it will be given to you. Right? It's so simple, and yet Jesus says it so often. In another place, he tells his people, he goes, all of you who love me and are called according to my purpose, ask whatever you want, and it shall be given to you. Ask whatever you want, and it shall be given to you. Now, you guys heard the catch, right? The catch is, you got to love me. You got to be called according to my purpose, right? Because that's the thing. Like, we go ask whatever you want, and people are going, cool, so I can just ask for money, ask for speedboats, ask for God to, like, you know, send me my supermodel husband or wife, you know, all that kind of stuff. Like, all the things that we just covet and want for ourselves. He goes, no, called according to my purpose. My purpose, my will. If you're asking according to my will and your love for me, ask whatever you want. And I am a God that wants to bless you, that wants to give good things to you. We don't get to preach this a lot. And you guys understand why, right? The reason we don't preach a lot of sermons about ask and you shall receive is because it's so easy in our American Western consumer mindset to turn that in to the sort of prosperity gospel that says the more you give me, the more God's going to bless you. And there's a lot of spiritual hacks, I don't know a nicer way to say it, that's their message. And they grow really big, really wealthy churches by promising you blessings that it's not theirs the promise, that's only God's the promise. And so because of that, the rest of us, we're a little nervous preaching texts like this, okay? So the first question I have is what are you asking God for right now? Hopefully you've spent some time going, what am I thankful for? Now we're going, what am I asking for? What do I want God to do in my life, in my marriage, in my family, with my kids, in my career, and in my church? What is God doing in my city? What do I want to see? What blessings is God going to rain down over this next year, over these next 5 years? And as we transition our church, what are we asking to build for the next generation 10 and 20 years from now? Ask, and it shall be given to you. Now, here's the other part. It's your job to prepare the soil. You guys with me this morning? It's your job to till the ground. It's your job to plant the seed. Is it your job to make it rain? It's not. You can't make it rain, right? You can do everything that God calls you to do, and at the end of the day, there's still something that it's just up to God to do. There's a part that he does, and there's a part that we do as Christians for the enrichment of our lives and to give purpose and clarity to all the people that are waiting to hear the message of Jesus. There's a part for you to do, and there's a part for God to do. The verse that was on my heart as I thought through this sermon this morning was Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. Ask the Lord for rain in the springtime. It is the Lord who sends the thunderstorms. He gives showers of rain to all the people and plants of the field to everybody. So let me read it again. Ask the Lord for rain. Is it okay to ask God to bless your life? It is, and it's good. And listen, if you ask for the wrong thing, here's what happens. God just doesn't give it to you. And that's okay, right? Like sometimes one of the best answers God gives us is no, or wait, or slow down. But the best thing you can do is ask him. Just ask him. Right? Any of you guys, raise your hand if you guys are in sales or have a sales component to your job. Have you guys ever heard, what's the ABCs of sales? Always be what? Closing. The C's closing, right? Always be closing. Terrible advice, by the way. If you guys are in sales, let me help you out. Always be closing is a great line if you're like one of those hustle salesmen, right? If you're trying to pull one, if you're trying to get them to commit before they have a chance to think about it, then always be closing. But if you're the kind of person that you feel like your job is to just add value to other people's lives, that's why we're here, by the way. That's why we do this. That's my job. That's what I do. I'm up here hoping to add value to your lives every week. That's what I want to do. That's what good ministers do, is we go, okay, there's a million things I want to say and a million things I want to preach, but what's going to add value to the lives of the listeners? What is the life-giving message God has to give them? And if you're trying to add value to people's lives, all you have to do, you give the features and benefits, and look, the selling does itself, right? But here's the thing. The reason people tell you always be closing is because there's a very important rule that people forget, and that is you got to ask for their business, right? And so look, if you add value to their lives, if you show them why you're there and why you're a solution for their problem, and that's in sales, that's in your career, but that's also in your personal lives, then at that point, all you have to do is ask them. You just ask them. You know, what's going on here? Are we ready to do this? There's some of you, you've seen me do that to you, by the way. Some of you, I've tapped your shoulder. I've been like, look, what are you waiting on? We've been praying over this. We've been studying this. You know what your next step is. Are you ready to take it? And some of you will not move for Jesus until somebody asks you for your business. The message that God reminds us of is if there's something that you're waiting on, ask him. Because you can plant the seed and you can till the ground. You can prepare the soil. You can harvest the plant. But it's God who sends the rain. There's a part for God to do, and there's a part for you to do. God's part is, you ask me, and I'll send the rain. You bring it to me, and I will do my part. So as we enter into this holiday season, as you start making those New Year's resolutions, you start looking forward to next year, what are you asking God for? James chapter 4 says it this way. In verse 2, he says, you do not have because you do not ask God. Can it get any simpler than that? You guys hear it, right? You don't have because you don't ask. The translation I grew up reading was, you have not because you ask not. So, and then he goes on, he goes, and by the way, when you do ask, the reason you don't receive is because you ask with wrong motives, right? God wants to fix your marriage. God wants to heal your family. God wants to give you the kind of life that allows you to bless other people. It's not about you. It's not about your preferences. It's not about what you get. God wants to heal you and restore you so that he can put you on mission and call you to a bigger purpose than anything you've ever lived for in your life. But if you're not receiving that, it may be because your motives are messed up, or it might just be because you're not taking it to God and asking him. One of the things I think about a lot, man, when you look at this, he goes, look, ask for the rain. Ask for the rain. Pray for it. Talk to God about it. Go to God about it. One of the things I'm convinced of is, look, a lot of really small, really tiny churches are small and tiny and pretty much ineffective because they worship a small God, have a small vision, and expect small results. Look, the more, because there's a correlation, is there not? The more you ask, the more God blesses. The more you take it to him, the more you go, God, this isn't about me, this is about you. God, get it done. I'll do my part, but I got to take this to you. I got to ask you. I got to send it up to you. Will you accomplish your will through a broken and messy person like me? And the more you ask, the more God does. Let me give you this. What we're going to be doing as a church in 2023, we're going to be asking a lot of God. Bigger vision, bigger impact, because we worship a really big God. And God is big enough to give you abundantly more than all that you ask or imagine, according to his promises and his will that is at work in you. God wants you to ask him. He wants you to go to him. You just got to dream of a bigger God. You got to live a little and dream a little and just look at what God is trying to do in your city and go, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Bring heaven down, and Lord, prevent me from bringing hell up into the world around me. Get your will done. Bring the rain in the springtime. We have because we do not ask. So first of all, what are you asking God for? And second of all, what is God asking of you right now this morning? What's God asking of us as a community, as a church? What is God asking us as a power source in this city to impact change and to transform lives and to preach his good message of love and salvation and grace to a whole lot of broken and hurting people in our nation? What is the role that God is giving us to play? So what are we asking God, and what is God asking of us? Let me show you the text that I first thought of. It's what really got this whole sermon rolling for me as I thought about how are we as a church going to bless our city, how are we going to bless the mission effort in Zimbabwe, and how can I invite each of you to be a part of that. Now, this is really neat. So what's happening in the book of Acts, the gospel is being preached to the Jews first and then the Gentiles. It is at this time the church in Jerusalem. That's where the church started. It's right outside of there that Jesus was crucified. It's in this city that they start baptizing people, and they start this really strong church that's almost entirely formed of those who grew up Jewish. And they were, because of the persecution that broke out, there was a scattering. They were literally kicked out of Jerusalem. And as they scattered, people traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, spreading the word only among the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. So for a while, they were preaching the gospel to the Jews. And then some of those Christians, as they went out away from the hub of Judaism into this pagan land, they just start preaching the gospel to anyone that will listen. And praise God for that, because being a Gentile, being a non-Jew, being somebody that was raised far from the commonwealth of Israel, I'm quoting Ephesians 2 here, those who were raised without an inheritance, the gospel was made available to us because faithful men saw fit to preach the gospel to areas where the gospel hasn't been reached yet. And here's what happens. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem. So look, now we've got two churches working together and corresponding with one another. Praise God for Christian unity. They believe, they turn to the Lord. News of this reaches Jerusalem. So Jerusalem's like, all right, well, we need to disciple them up. We need to help them out. We need to preach the gospel to them. We need to make sure that they're a strong, healthy church. So they send one of their heavy hitters down. They send Barnabas down to disciple them, to train them, to preach the gospel. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. One day we're going to preach just that verse. Sometimes it's not what you say. Sometimes it's your character. It's who you are as a person that shines the light of Jesus Christ. And so there is a direct correlation between his character, full of the faith, full of the Spirit, a good, godly man, and the results of the number of people that are being brought to the Lord. Amen to that. Barnabas goes to look for Saul. Remember, Saul was persecuting Christians, and then he becomes a Christian, and he starts preaching in Jerusalem, and people are afraid of him. They're like, that's a trap. You were previously killing Christians, and now you're trying to preach to us. And it's Barnabas that throws an arm around Saul, who we usually just call Paul, because that's going to be the name that he takes when he starts preaching the Gentiles rather than to Jewish people. And so Barnabas seeks him out so that he can go there so they can work together at this new church in Antioch. We preached a whole sermon about this verse one time. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Christian just means little Christ. It just means Christ follower. It means it's people who are just trying to live and look like Jesus. And it's interesting to me that in Jerusalem, they were just Jews that were talking about Jesus a bunch. But in Antioch, these former pagans, these heathens, these Gentiles are the ones that carve out the name Christian in their legacy. People look at them, they go, they're different. They look like Jesus. They look like the one whom they worship. And the disciples were first called Christians at this new Gentile church there in Antioch. Let's keep going. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem. One of them, named Agabus, stood up through the Spirit, predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. And then we get this little note that reminds us this happened during the reign of Claudius. And you can go look that up if you want to. A lot of Roman historians wrote about the famine that happened during this time. Josephus, who was a Roman military official, who when he retired became a historian, he rubbed elbows with all the higher up, so we like Josephus because it's good, reliable history. Josephus writes about the famine that's taking place in this time period that Agabus just prophesied and predicted was about to happen. And here's what I want you to see. So there's a famine in that part of the world. The church in Jerusalem is sending people to Antioch to train them up and to disciple them. And then the church in Antioch realizes that the church in Jerusalem is about to have a famine. So guess what they do? Verse 29. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. So they had their guy on the field that they send over there to give relief, to provide food, and to give aid to this area, to these Christians that didn't have food because they were under famine. We have the same opportunity, and if you'll permit me, I want to spend just a few minutes and talk about why we are focused on Zimbabwe in that part of the world. Now, I'm going to get some of these details mixed up. I'm just so sure of it. So again, if you've got questions, talk to Brother Richard Hines, talk to Brother Dwayne Connolly, or talk to one of the Addendorf brood, and they will help correct some of this if I get it wrong. So if you guys don't know, first of all, like the UK and America has economic sanctions against Zimbabwe. Their economy has largely collapsed. Their currency has absolved and is worth very little. Their borders are often closed. It's so risky to take a rental car into Zimbabwe to bring them food and to provide relief that when Johan has to go take a rental car to go into Zimbabwe, it usually costs him about $5,000 every time he goes over there to do it, just because of the insurance that they have to take, because what Zimbabwe loves to do is impound cars from South Africa and then profit off of it. And so because the risk of impounding a vehicle is so high, they have to get insurance that ends up costing our Riverside missions about $5,000 a pop every time we do that. So it's tough to even get food to them. Several of the missionaries that are working at the local churches there, Johan's meeting them in South Africa close to the border, because some of them are having a hard time crossing the border. Some of the guys in South Africa are having a hard time getting into Zimbabwe. And so the few of them that are able to go back and forth easily that aren't having passport issues are the ones that you're seeing on these videos that they're talking to. And hopefully maybe over the next week or so, we'll get a few more videos from some of the other guys that we're having a hard time communicating with. While we're over there in Zimbabwe, we are providing water. We're trying to provide irrigation systems so that people can farm and raise food for themselves. We're trying to provide relief in the form of food, just bringing them staples that should be easy to get there, but because of the state of their government, it's very difficult to get even some of the basic necessities to survive and to live comfortably. And so one of the best ways that we can show people the love of Christ is when the church activates, comes together, and begins providing relief for the area. So I want to show you a few pictures, and while we've got these pictures up, can one of y'all maybe in the corner, can y'all hit those two light switches? I haven't even met this guy over here. Dude, thank you so much. He's like, this is my first time, and I'm already, like, serving here. Like, I didn't even know I was volunteering. So thank you. I appreciate that. So that y'all can see these a little bit better. That's Johan on the far right there with a couple of the missionaries and some of the others. And I'm going to let them just kind of click through these pictures, and we'll just talk a little bit. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. So while you guys are kind of looking, let's stop on this one real quick. So this right here, that's like what rice would be to us down here in Cajun country. What do they call it there? Sudza. It's so interesting because this stuff has a different name depending on what area in Africa that you're in. And so everybody calls it something different. But this is almost like a cornmeal type stuff. This is the staple of their diet. This is the stuff that Johan brings in literally by the truckload to help feed the people there, because they kind of make this sort of something between a paste and a bread that they use for pretty much all of their meals. It's the base of all of their meals. As you guys are clicking through, here's what I want you thinking about. When a government shut down, when a economy has collapsed, when there's no infrastructure in a country, how does a nation develop? How are they even able to? Maybe you guys don't realize the importance of the church in developing nations. Very often, the only organization, the only infrastructure you have that's able to provide relief is the local church. When the governments collapse, when there's no roads being built, when there's economic hardships, when there's no other way for businesses and social services to come in and build up a community, the first ones with boots on the ground is the church. The local church has the opportunity to engage people, to get people to rally around a mission so that they can build up a people so that those people can live for Jesus and find their purpose. We're seeing some of the preachers and some of the local churches there, some of the villages that they serve in that area. Is that Brother Dwayne right there in the middle? There's Dwayne Connolly. If you guys don't know him, he is one of our deacons here. And I think there's another picture that's almost just like that of Brother Johan. I think I saw Richard Essery in these as well. Is that right? So he's gone over. A lot of you guys have participated in our Zimbabwe effort. Thank you guys so much. So this year, I talked to Johan. I said, Johan, how can we help you? You can hit those lights if y'all don't mind. Thank you guys so much. This guy's like, again, man. That'd be weird. I don't mean to embarrass you. It's weird to me to, like, you visit a church for the first time and they got you. They're like getting you to do stuff for them. So I'm so sorry. There we go. There's Johan there in the middle with some of the locals there. When I talked to Johan, this is coming up on the second time that I am submitting Riverside's budget to our elders, and then the elders are revising and submitting it to the board. And so the first time I did it about a year and a half ago, and then this time, both times I reached out to Johan. I said, Johan, what do we need for missions? How are we doing? Are the missions that we support India, we support some orphanages in Russia, and our passion project, the one that we spend the most time and effort in, is Zimbabwe. And the other ones are good. We've got people over there. We support another one as well. I heard some of y'all say, I'm not going to say it because we're not allowed to put their names or their pictures up there. It's a Muslim country, and we have to be careful talking about who we have over there working. But we can talk more about that later. Awesome mission effort over there in Turkey is where that is, and we'll keep their names private for their safety. For Zimbabwe, what Johan told me is, he said, you know, we had a vehicle that we were using that lasted 15 years, a truck that they would use to transport food and to transport missionaries between the something like 10 to 13 local churches in the villages around there that they support and that we are building up. And the truck is no more. The truck is not only is it not running, but it's not ever going to be running again. It's one of those kind of situations. And so I talked to Johan and said, what do you need? And he said, man, if we can have a way to transport food and medicine and medical supplies to the churches there in Zimbabwe so that the missionaries can serve their communities, that would be a huge help. And I said, how much do you need to get it done? He said, truck, trailer, food, and medicine comes out to something like $37,000-$38,000. And I went, ouch, that's tough, right? That's a big number, and that's hard. So I said, how can we help? And he said, raise us $38,000, right? That's basically what it is, because right now it costs us $5,000 a pop every time we go over there to rent a car. And so I said, look, the one thing that y'all have taught me about this church in the coming up on 5 years that I've been here is, if there's a need, you guys meet it. If there's somebody that needs help, if there's somebody that we don't have it in the church budget, the individuals will pull together their resources and we'll get it done. And we've seen it done time and time again. I'm looking for Caitlin. Where's Tabby at this morning? She's around here somewhere, right? She's running the camera, or back there somewhere. She helps out back there, or she might be in kids. I don't know. She's in the kids. Okay. She's serving. So if you guys don't know Tabby had it on her heart to serve God and went and trained at the preaching school that I went to for about 6 months before spending a year and a half in Mexico City, where she was able to help serve the local church there, learn the language, build up the people, and just learn to be a missionary. And since she's been back home with us, she has not stopped serving God and serving this church. And many of you made it possible. So Riverside as a congregation didn't support, we supported her some, but it was individuals. It was a lot of you that rallied together, that pooled your resources, and that sent her to the field so that she could preach the gospel to lost people in Mexico City. And man, that's paying dividends, because she's here doing the same thing, building up our community and serving in our church. And we're not just proud of her for that. We're proud of so many of you that made it happen, that you guys were the senders so that she could be the goer. So here is my ask. So we've talked about what are you asking God? What is God asking of you? And here's what I'm asking of you, okay? I want to see what we can do to buy a truck for Zimbabwe. Now, as you guys know, we're selling our building. And with the sale of this facility here, we're going to have some money that we're going to be able to use to bless our ministry partners, and the biggest of which is our foreign mission effort. And so we're wanting to use some of that to help with this. And so at the same time, we also want to give you the chance to partner with us. So on one hand, we want to help with it. On the other hand, we want you guys to be involved as well. So what the elders have agreed to is, we're going to price match. whatever you guys give to this mission effort, this church is going to match to see if we can. If you guys give 20K, then we're going to give 20K, and then Johan will have surpassed his goal. So let me show you what this is going to look like. So, food, medicine, transportation, that's a truck, that's a trailer, and that is all the supplies that it takes to get it done. And so here's how you guys can get involved if you want to, and we're about to show you what we're looking for. If you guys haven't done this before, and by the way, if you're visiting, this is super weird. We're not trying to ask you for money your first time here. That's weird. And so look, this part isn't for you, okay? But if you have a heart for this kind of stuff, if you like seeing God do really big things in parts of the world that are hungry for the gospel and that just need a little bit of our help, then we invite you, partner with us. So if you give above and beyond, because we still want to keep the lights on here. So don't take away from your normal contribution to support this effort. But those of you that want to, those of you that have a heart for generosity and that have some buy-in to this mission effort, we want you to partner with us. If you give cash, mark it on an envelope. There's envelopes by the giving boxes on the wall. Are there envelopes or are those just cards? However you can, mark it for us. If your cash is specifically for this, let us know so that we know what the price match. If you write a check, just put in the byline that it's for missions or that it's for Zimbabwe, and we will know, and so that way we can do the price match. And of course, you can always give at riversidechurchofchrist.org /give, and you can select the sub fund for Zimbabwe. Or if I just lost some of you, here's the super easy way. Text Zim to that number. You guys can do it. Go, for those of you that want to, or if you just want to practice, you can take out your phone and you can put in the number in a text message, like you're texting a new person, and just send a text message that says Zim, Z-I-M. And what that's going to do is that's going to give you the link directly to this giving page, and it's already that sub fund. The funds will go directly to that source. It's absolutely the easiest way to do it. It goes through our normal giving platform, which is encrypted, and it's safe, and it's secure, so you don't have to worry about any of that. We're not asking for a blood sample or anything like that. Text Zim to that number. And here's what we're looking for. Let me show you a little bit about what this is going to look like. So you'll notice some of these are already grayed out. I guess that's not gray, but you guys know what I'm saying. Some of these are already grayed out. So Johan made sure to shoulder tap a few people and to just invite some people to partner with him before he left for Zimbabwe. And so there's already been a couple of other churches that are partnering with us on this, and there's already a few of you that have already contributed to this. And so some of these numbers are marked out, and next week this will be updated, and anything that you guys contribute to this will be marked out. And so here's why we start with this one. If you're like, guys, it's the holidays, I already tithe to this church, I'm tapped, I've got Christmas gifts to buy, I can't give, look, pick one of the $5 ones. Because here's the thing, no matter what amount you pick, you're partnering with us to get this done. So part of that truck that we're buying for Zimbabwe is going to be your contribution. And so look, if you're like, I don't know if I can, then look, you don't have to give a big amount, just partner with us. Just give $5, give $10, give $25, and as you give that donation, we'll mark it out off of this list. Once we get all three of these slides, once we get all of these covered, it's raised, and the money's there, and Zimbabwe will be blessed, and they won't just be blessed this year. They will have the equipment that they need to be blessed for another 15 years of support and service and help in the local churches. A couple more slides. This is more like my giving range, you know. I think we might stretch and do 200 or 500. I never talk about my personal giving. Hopefully you guys understand my heart behind that. And then here's the third one. There's some larger amounts here, and you can see some of these are already have already been given. Thank you guys for those of you that have contributed to this. So some of you, like, all you have to do, you pick a number, you give that amount. Next week we'll update it. There'll be less numbers, and for those of you, we're gonna do this for 2 weeks. That's it. Like less than that, like a week and a half. Nope, I'm 3 weeks. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder why I'm the guy that y'all put up here. Three weeks. And here's why. The reason we only have 3 weeks to get it done is because we want all of this purchased and taken care of while Johan's over there to oversee it and to make sure that it's all done above board and done the right way. And so we want to give him time to actually get all of the equipment and get it registered and get it ready to go, which means we've got 2.5, 3 weeks to get it done. And so, you pick an amount. You on any of those three slides, you text Zim to that number, and it'll walk you through how to do that for those of you that want to partner with us. As you guys can see, we're almost halfway there already. If you add up the amounts that have already been given, we're 22% of the way there. 22% is almost halfway. This graphic, we know we've at least raised 4K. I think we've raised a little bit more than that. We're just trying to collect all of our data and make sure it's right. So guys, if this is something that speaks to you, if you're like, man, I want to be involved, I want to give, I want to build up global churches around the world, then support us in this because we're buying something that's going to last, that's going to be there, and you guys are a part of that. So maybe you can't buy a whole truck, but you can buy a bumper. You know what I mean? You can buy like the mirror, and somebody else buys the bumper, and somebody else buys the engine. And after a couple weeks, we're going to have a truck that we can use for Zimbabwe. That's my ask for you guys, for this congregation. We also know, again, what are you asking God right now? And can I give you one more verse before we close this morning? I don't want to leave this sermon without preaching the gospel just for a moment. Can I do that for just a few minutes? In John chapter 12, this is one of my favorite verses. This is one of my life verses. I remember the first time a preacher sat me and a few other guys down in a small group setting and presented this verse to me, and it's been close to my heart ever since. Now, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival, and they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with the request, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." There's a man named, I don't want to get his name wrong, let me look over here. G.K. Chesterton, he was an early writer in the early 1900s, Christian writer, American guy. He wrote, "Every man who has ever knocked on the door of a brothel went there looking for God." Every man that's ever knocked on the door of a brothel went there looking for God. There's a lot of people in this community that are looking for Jesus. They just don't know it. They're longing for something. There's an emptiness in here. There's a whole world of people that what they're looking at the church, what they're asking, and most of them don't even know they're asking it, and a lot of them certainly aren't asking us. But what the world is asking is, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." That's what's being asked of you. More than anything else that we've talked about, what is being asked of each one of us, if you're a Christian and you're here this morning, what the world is asking you, and most of them don't even know it, is, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Can you just show me Jesus? Can you just show me that emptiness, that lack of fulfillment, that hope, that answer to the questions of life? Can you just show me that thing that I'm just craving and ruining my life trying to find? Will you just show me Jesus?" And there's a world of people that are crying out for your help, going, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And they might not be using those words. They might have the worst addictions and the messiest lives, and they might be ruining relationships. They might be hitting rock bottom, or they might just be a complete success, climbing the top of the corporate ladder only to get to the very top, realizing that the answer's not there either. Some of you, whether you're finding it in a bottle, or you're finding it in a career, or you're finding it in your sex life or your relationship, or if you're finding it in your friend group or your power dynamics, the whole world is seeking the same thing, and most of them don't even realize what they're seeking is the gospel of Jesus Christ. These Greeks went up to Philip, and they say, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And I just want to remind you, before we're done today, I just want to remind you, the world is asking the same thing of you. We wish to see Jesus. So what did Philip do? He goes to Jesus. Actually, he goes to Andrew first, and Andrew and Philip in turn go to Jesus. And they go, "Jesus, there's some people here that are looking for you." And this is what Jesus says. He says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. And anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Let's keep going. This is good. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. And he says, no, it is for this very hour that I come now. And we'll close there. Listen, there is a world of people going, just show us Jesus. Can you just show us the answer to that emptiness that's in here? And some of you, in your busyness and in your stress, let me ask you again, what are you asking for? Are you going to God? Are you looking for him? Are you seeking after Jesus in this very, very busy end of year holiday season? Are you even aware that there's a world of people? When you go Christmas shopping and you're just in that zombie just field of just people just mindlessly walking down aisles and looking for gifts for like their nieces and nephews somewhere, and everybody's just on autopilot and everybody's mad and everybody's stressed out and nobody's happy to be there, but they're all smiling because it's the holiday season, so everybody's pretending to be happy. And in that moment, will you stop and remember everyone around you is asking you to show them Jesus? Most of them just don't even know it yet. You young people, listen, every time you go to Pornhub on the internet, can I say it? There's kids in here, I apologize. Every time you start looking at stuff that you're not supposed to, okay? Everyone that knocks on the door of a brothel went there looking for God. Most of them just don't know it. That thing that you're doing to feel a little bit better or to escape or to find some peace or to have that dopamine hit or just feel a moment of happiness, that's you in that moment, your soul longing for something that you cannot find in earthly pleasures, because you too are crying out to the world going, can you just show me something that sticks? Can you just show me something that fills this void? And the answer is, will you just show him Jesus? Will you just invite people into a relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you tired of trying to do it on your own? Are you ready to just ask God? God, I will do my part. I'll till the soil. I'll prepare the ground. I'll study and I'll read and I'll serve and I'll get involved and I'll commit and I'll step up and I'll try to do better. But there's a part that I can't do. God, will you send the rain? Because I can get the ground ready, but only you can send the rain. God, show us Jesus. Bring his presence into our lives. Build us up. Transform us by the good, loving message of Jesus Christ. And look, if you're here this morning and you're thirsty and you're hungry and you're searching and you're longing, there is no other way to heaven. There is no other way to joy and peace except through Jesus Christ himself. So I don't know if you knew this or not, but you too are looking for Jesus. If you're not a Christian, you're here this morning. If you are ready to receive the life-giving message of Jesus Christ, we invite you to come forward. Let us pray for you. Let us encourage you. Let us love on you. And if you are ready to give your life to Jesus so that you can stop searching in other places, we invite you into the waters of baptism so that you can die to your old self and be raised up in newness of life. If we can do any of that for you, come forward now as we stand.
Thank you very much. My name is Farai Denga, and I'm married to Chipo, and we've got three children, namely Panache, Rovarache, and Valonia. And we are so thankful for the work you are doing here in Zimbabwe, for the progression of God's work. We really appreciate you as Riverside Church of Christ. And we are also thankful for the assistance we are getting from you to take the word to the lost. So we are so grateful.